all my notes and everything I've been working on for my telecourse tomorrow night. Do you think I did a backup? Do you think I did a backup?
Listen, we're not going to go there.
Do you think I did a backup?
It'll all be there. And it's all in your brain, too.
In my brain. You know, though, I have to say, you're going to have to throw us into record mode because I don't have
a
computer.
I've done that now already. Sorry,
okay.
I did it as you were telling us about your computer.
Okay, welcome, everyone. It is, what's the day? Because normally I look at my computer to know the day.
It is Tuesday. It's the
13th. September 14th, I'm guessing.
No, the 13th. And it's not a Friday, but it feels like one at this moment.
So for those of you that are wondering why you can't get in and listen to the webinar live, Instant Teleseminar is in Mercury retrograde, just like my computer. And we're going to blame everything on Mercury. If I had a computer right now, I'd look up what that means. But since I don't, let's talk about this very quick. Mercury retrograde happens a few times a year, and apparently when it happens, everything to do with electronics goes wonky.
Communication, even relationships, backwards.
Oh.
Let me tell you what it's really good for. It's good for completions.
Completion.
It's good for clearing out crap and getting shit done. There's my nice language for Tuesday afternoon.
and it's good for completion, clearing out crap. That's always
good
communication.
Yeah, and then when it comes to, like, trying
to good communicators. Clear out crap. Clear out shit. That's how we communicate.
That's right. And they say don't sign contracts and stuff, but there's exceptions. So, for example, if you're in the process of you've been working on a deal for months, and it happens to land in the time, you've got to get on with life. Life still happens. It happens in the time that Mercury's in retrograde. Because it's a form of completion, something's coming to a completion, it's okay to sign the contract in that period of time.
Okay. Well, you know what I say? If I had some great contract that came my way, I'm going to be straight up with you. Like, if I had some great contract that came my way or some opportunity, someone presented me with an opportunity, hey, Crystal, I think this would be amazing and I think you'd be amazing for it, I can't imagine saying to that person, well, listen, I'd really like to sign this contract. Everything looks perfect. I really want to go ahead with this, but I'm not going to do it until Mercury is no longer retrograde. What do you think a business person would say to me if I did that?
I think you're the walk your rock. So having said that, you can still sign contracts, but what they're suggesting is if you sign contracts within a Mercury retrograde, there might be, you know, one dot wasn't dotted, I wasn't dotted, that kind of stuff. There might be, you know, a little bit confusion or a challenge in
the contract. Right, it would be life.
Itself.
Life might get in the way.
Exactly.
Life might get in the way.
Yeah.
And my computer might have died today because of Mercury retrograde, or it might have died because it's about 10 years old. And every time it's had a little hiccup, instead of replacing it, because I know people wouldn't know this about me. As much as I can be grandiose and I love big ideas and big things, I'm not a big spender. And the reason I'm not a big spender is because the reality is everything I make, I pour back into my dream, into my business. So a computer, really, I should spend on that. But even that, I'm always like, this could last longer, that could last. I'm never someone that has to have the latest gadgets and the best car. I mean, I drive a nice car, but it's older, and it's still working. So why do I need to have the tip-top? Maybe that day will change. Maybe I'll just be so rolling in the deep. I buy everything new.
Anything I want.
And anytime. I remember listening to Oprah Winfrey years and years ago. It was probably her first, second, third season. So I'm talking like, I think she was on the air 30 years ago was her first season, because I watched her 25 years on the air, and I'm shocked to think it's been probably 5 years that the Oprah Winfrey Show is off the air now. Anyways, I remember one of her shows. It was in the beginning, and she said it was this amazing revelation. She went in for the first time in her life to buy some china, some nice dishes. She'd never bought nice dishes before, and she thought, I just want to buy some nice dishes. So she couldn't decide between two different sets of dishes. And she was like, I just couldn't decide. I love them both. So I left. And I got home, and I realized, I can buy both. I actually have enough money to buy both sets of dishes. But one of the things I always loved about Oprah that she always showed on the air was even when she was rolling in the deep. I always say that to Aaron. He's always like, he used to say, what does that mean? I'm like, rolling
deep
in the deep.
Debt or deep money?
I'm thinking money. I'm thinking rolling in the deep. We could have been rolling in the deep. It means we could have been rolling around in our just rolling in it, you know? And
It's all relative, though, isn't it?
I got a lot of deep. I can't say. Like, you know, when I look at what we do and what we make and how much is rolling through our fingertips and sending off there and going off there, and I certainly can't complain. But I will say I don't take a lot of it for myself. I just don't. Because I always just think, I remember, again, all of our life's experiences. My father was an entrepreneur, and he would put so much money into toys. He always had the best toys. There was always a couple cars in the driveway. We had snowmobiles. We had jet skis. We had a beautiful big summer home. And my dad would always overdo it. Like, let's say he got a new home, then he would spend like $300,000 in landscaping, and then he'd start to have problems at work, and he'd lose everything again. He'd lose everything, and then he'd have to start again, and he'd always did it, but he would build back, and then he'd lose, and they'd build back. And that was a real scare for me my whole life, because I'd always think, I know I had the magic, the Midas touch. I knew I could turn things to gold, but I also wasn't taught staying power. And I remember years and years ago, my dad saying to me, put your money into your business. Put your money into your business. Build that business, because if your business is big and solid and stable and steady, you can buy any home. You can buy anything. You can do anything. Just put it into. But for me, it was even more than just buying of a home, because I've been in the same home. And the truth is, I love, you know, I moved 21 times by the time between, I think I counted it once I left home at 15 until I got married and settled down at 21. I moved over 20 times. I think I stopped counting at 21 times. I think that's just when my brain, when I was looking back and trying to remember the different places. And so I like the familiarity of getting up in the night and being able to walk down dark stairs, find your way into a kitchen, and know exactly where things are in a drawer. I know that sounds crazy, but I like that feeling of knowing the sounds of a house, knowing I need that. I need that. I need that safe haven, and I've always wanted to create that for my children. So I have my home, and I just keep putting everything into my business. But anyways, yes, Aaron and I had a little bit of it. Aaron was like, yeah, I got to buy a new computer this morning. And I laughed because I'm the empowered communicator, and I had a little bit of a, you know, we had a little bit of a scream. Well, Chris had a scream. Aaron didn't have a scream at all. Aaron looks at me like, you're crazy, lady. You know, computer dies. Like, it's just been a fabulous go. But how can I complain? Oprah.com.
Three times. Hello.
Featured my book again yesterday.
Yes.
So, you know, what goes up comes down, goes up, comes up, down, 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 down. And this, my point is, what I'm getting at is what I learned from my dad, what I really learned from my parents, was this philosophy that's wrong. And the philosophy was, what goes up must come down. You get, just be prepared for that. Always be prepared for the shoe to drop, because it's going to drop, but then you can pick it up, put it back on, and build again. And so that was an awful, that's actually a very, it has an awful way to live. It's almost like, you know, love won't last, things won't last, people won't last, businesses won't last, dreams won't last, money won't last. So get your goods, get it good while you got it.
Yeah. I can relate that to weight, because I know when I was going through a really challenging time financially, and, you know, just it was very rough, I realized I put weight on at that period of time, and I realized, aside from the whole stress factor, I had a belief that I needed to eat what I could, because I didn't know where my next meal was coming from.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Like, no, I believe it. I absolutely believe it.
Aha moment point. Oh, it's like when the money came in, it's like, oh, let's eat really good, because we don't know when the next
Let's eat lobster and oysters every day. Filet mignon.
We
may be back to craft dinner in a couple months.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That mentality of when's the next shoe going to drop? Okay,
well, you know, that's
good,
really
good now, but yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it reminds me of that show Hoarders, you know, where they've had some type of, every one of them have had some type of traumatic experience. Some of them lived in trauma growing up. Some of them had a traumatic experience. And just holding on to what they have gives them some sense of safety. So it's the same thing. When, you know, the money's there, I'm going to buy. That's what my dad would do. The money would be there. He'd have a great couple of months, let's say, in business, just a couple of great months. And instead of thinking, I could put this away, and I'm an entrepreneur, so I have nothing for my future. I have nothing I can rely on for the, from the government, because when you're an entrepreneur, I mean, for those of you who don't know, you don't have any retirement fund. You have nothing that's going to come to you from the government. You have nothing that's going to, I mean, I don't, that's how I live. Maybe you do, but I just assume there's nothing that's going to be taken care of me. So I've always put, I've always just, you know, even when the kids talk about, let's go here, let's go there. And even sometimes when I say, we don't have any money right now, like business has been slow, and I still make sure I, and I don't even think of it, but I always, when I say pay myself first, I pay my future first. Every month we put a certain, I've just always done this, I put a certain amount of money into a bank account that is like, I don't even think I have it.
Fort Knox, you can't get in.
Fort Knox, I mean, I could. I could get in tomorrow, but I always put money away.
Just, it's not there.
It's not for a rainy day. The kid, I say to the kids, it's not for a rainy day. It's not for a trip. It's not for, it's not, that's not what it's for. It's for when mommy gets old, you don't have to take care of me. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
When mommy gets old, you don't, I don't want you to be responsible for paying for my old age home or for whatever my cost might be. Mommy's going to take care of mommy. And mommy is also building a future and a legacy for you girls and for my school. And for, I want the Swan Institute in 100 years from now to be, to
like
be,
Mary
you know,
Kay, it keeps going and going and going.
It will never, ever end. So we have all these sort of safety precautions. So even sometimes when I act like, things have been slow, I'm losing my mind, what are we going to do? There's always still a reserve, but there isn't. Do you know what I mean? There's no reserve. There's no reserve. I can't tap into that. That's my old age money. So, just having
it's given it's interesting when you say, you know, when you have no money. Because I remember when I said I had no money, it literally meant no money, right? And I remember Dave at the other time going, oh, I have no money. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're loaded. You have all of this access to credit. You got tons of money.
Yeah. Credit, though, credit is a bit of a nightmare, too, though, because credit is only great as long as you know that you've got steady cash flow and that you're buying on credit knowing that you absolutely have the ability to pay that credit off. Like I find with us, the banks and credit card companies just keep giving us more and more credit because one of the things that Aaron is brilliant at and has been long before he and I got together. And the truth is he had no debt before. He didn't run a business. He had a great, you know, six-figure income with benefits. It was a single guy and he rented a room like he had a home and he sold that home and then moved in with his best friend and his best friend owned his own condo. So Aaron literally rented a room and made six figures. So he had he didn't really understand
no
when he and I got together.
Yeah.
Not only no debt, just no responsibility. So all your money is your money to play with, to do things with, to whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. But because of that, Aaron created that. So as much as I can say, you got no debt, Aaron created that life.
Yeah.
Aaron is responsible for creating a life that from the time he was a teenager when he got his first credit card, he paid that bill in full every month. He never let a bill go past the 30 days without being paid in full. He never had paid interest on a credit card. And yet he had like three or four platinum visas with huge credit lines because he just never used them. Then he got involved with me.
And then he started like,
wow, you got credit. No, the truth is when he got involved with me, I can't believe I tell these stories, but when he got involved with me, I just laugh and say, look what we did together, Aaron. We've built schools and we built all kinds of big dreams, but boy, we built a lot of debt too. But the truth is when he also got together with me, I had a $100,000 line of credit with nothing on it. Completely.
Yeah. And you bought your own home as well.
I bought my own home. Mm-hmm. I had, so it wasn't like he got involved with a, you know, I had my own home that I put $110,000 down that I saved up as a single mother. I bought this home on my own. You know, I'd put enough into it anyway. So it's funny though, because Aaron and I, as we're building these dreams, we just keep building and 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 biting. And sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. And that's very stressful for him. In fairness, like, I do sometimes feel bad. You know, there's a song from Vince Joy called Your Mess Is My Mess.
Yeah.
And I remember that you were actually there. We had decided to do an event. I won't even talk about the event because I don't want any woman to feel badly about it if she were one of them that attended. But we had decided to do this event. And Crystal never just does things like...
No, you do it full on.
Like, yeah, like I never say, like, let's do an event and find a really cheap, good location. I do things like, let's pick the most magnificent hotel in that city. And then let's rent the most magnificent, stunning room in that hotel. Mm-hmm. And then let's serve the most magnificent five-course mm-hmm. meal. But let's only charge $149.
And I'm the one going, well, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, you're like, that's great. We'll get hundreds of people signed up. So when we have 25 people that sign up, and we go, we look at each other and go, The show must go on. So now we're flying our whole team into this place. We owe $17,000 just in food because there's minimums. We owe $20,000 for the rental.
We can laugh about it now, but it was stressful.
Oh, my God. My husband, poor Aaron. But then you know what I say to him? You knew exactly what you bought into this shit. So
yeah.
We're healing women, and we don't make any money doing it, but we're loving these women. No, I'm only kidding. There's money flowing, but that's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes I will bite off things and then go, gulp. Oh, I'm choking to get it down. But it's just bigger numbers.
But it's
bigger.
It's a flow of life.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, you know, it may not be as extreme as your dad said, where it's like, you know, the carpet slipped from underneath you and you're down to zero. There could be, I believe there's a happy balance where you feel comfortable on all levels.
Yeah, and I think I'm learning that. Like, I'm learning but, you know, I also look at it and I say, had I not done some of the things that I'd done and the risks that I took.
You wouldn't be where you are today.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. And some of them were calculated risks and some of them were stupid risks. But I remember that Vance Joy song, and I remember the woman from that hotel we'd gotten there, and she called up, and she was sort of like, all right, now, you need to come down to my office, and I need $17,000 to cover the food. And we were like, we just looked at each other like, what?
Where's that piggy bank? Where did you hide that pinky bank with dust on it?
And I remember she basically said something like, oh, if you don't pay in advance the full thing, we were kind of like, oh, we'll get some sales over there, and then we'll do that, and we'll do that, and we'll mm-hmm. upsell some people into that, we'll do blah, blah, it'll all work out. But it was like everything had to be paid in advance. And I remember whatever mm-hmm. it was, all the bills had come in. I looked over at Aaron, and I saw the pain. I saw the suffering. And that was such a healing moment for us because I started to cry, and I hugged him. And that song came on, and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I have these crazy dreams. I'm so sorry that you bought into this, and I'm so sorry for the pressure this is for you, you know. And, you know, your mess is my mess, and we hugged, and I remember that was years ago, and I remember us hugging and just really in that moment made a commitment, like, your mess is my mess, and my mess is your mess, because Aaron has other messes. We all have messes. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about a relationship. That's what love is. Love is sort of like messes are going to come our way, but we're committed.
And our threshold of messes.
Yeah,
so,
and we're going to be smarter.
We're going to be smarter. Entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yes. So here's a mess that I wasn't going to tell anybody about, but I'm going to just do it because I'm transparent and here it is. Should I do it, Yvette?
If it feels good to you, go for it.
Okay. No, let's move on.
Denial.
Fuck that mess. I'm not going to talk about that mess because I'm not going to let it be a mess. I'm going to clean that shit up this week.
I prefer to talk about what we take from those messes.
So here's what I take from my messes.
It's not about the story, right?
Okay, here's what I've taken from some of my messes. You have to know when to stop the bleeding. So there is a time when there's some pain and suffering, or sort of like you're training for the Ironman, and it's going to hurt. Like that's a different example, but it's the same thing. You're training for this big career. You're training for this big thing, and there's times where you say, you know what? I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's persevere through this. there's so much to be learned in this lesson. There's so much to hear about. There's so much to, you know. But then there's also times where you have to look at it and say, wait, you know, Yvette, you and I have both, you were the one who taught me that line. There are times you got to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the thing about messes. You can't let your pride overtake you for the sake of pleasing other people, but you also can't let your fear overtake you and shut something down because you're not seeing the bigger picture.
And it's knowing that moment, because I'm very similar in perseverance, and we can get through this, and we just try. It's like beating the
dead. And move forward.
Moment,
just move
right?
forward. Find
yeah.
solutions. Move forward.
At some point, you go, okay, that is not working it, for whatever reason, and instead of beating ourselves with the whip to keep going, and that's all it's essentially doing.
It's like you
got to,
and you got to sometimes detour. You know, you've got to stop that bleeding there and go, okay,
not
wait,
an all
it doesn't,
or nothing.
It's not an all or nothing. It doesn't mean it's over. It just means this isn't working this way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go where it's easier. Let's go where it's working for me right now. And maybe we revisit that thing again down the road. But right now, we got to put a pause on how much energy we're exerting towards making that thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Am I talking too much in just sort of non-specifics? Does it make sense
what I'm
saying?
It doesn't matter. Like I said, it's not about the story, because everyone can get caught up in a story.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter
if it's
a marriage.
What are you taking from that experience? Because
exactly,
it's not the specific example.
No.
It shows up in many different forms in different situations. And I mean, I know I can relate to it to myself. And the reason I know that, you know, you sometimes have to stop the bleeding, is a girlfriend did that to me when I owned the shows, because literally I kept it going. But at the end of the day, I was hurting myself. And she said, you know, sometimes you stop the bleeding. And I tell you, it was like a huge weight was lifted, because I came from a background of, you know, keep moving forward. You've got perseverance. You guys get through this. This is meant to be. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I'm gonna say something to you, and I wonder if you will feel like, yeah, you're right, Crystal, or no, you're wrong, Crystal. And either way, I remember when we were talking about a specific thing we've been working on, but like literally pounding the pavement, trying to make something come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote you one morning, and I said, I'm not moving forward with this anymore. I'm going to stop the bleeding. And I remember your response to me was like, I could be reading this wrong, but I got the feeling you were like, let's just push through and get this one last thing done. Let's get this done. Let's just push
mm-hmm.
through and make it happen. And I wrote back, no, I'm not pushing through. You were like, well, what feels better? And I said, stopping the bleeding at this point. And
mm-hmm.
the instant feeling of relief I felt,
mm-hmm.
the instant feeling of relief, and then the energy that I could put into some of the other projects that are just clicking, that are
mm-hmm.
working so easily, it almost like it was just a magnificent feeling and proof to me that, you know, you do have to also trust your results, because results
mm-hmm.
don't lie. And it doesn't mean that thing that we were busting our ass, it means it's sort of like, I remember the book Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, one of the things about success is that you always have to uncover the flaws in your plan. That's actually what I wrote. It's funny. That's not how he wrote it. That's how I put it into my book, Simply Empowered, because I remember that part in Think and Grow Rich, which were like, your results, you have to keep revisiting your results. You can't just get so focused on your dream that you're not looking at the numbers. You know, one of the things, because Aaron
mm-hmm.
came from GM, he was in management at GM, so everything was about production. And production, the numbers don't lie. So if you have a line on the line, let's say at GM, you got a certain, you know, a crew on the line, and this line keeps screwing up. These times from this foreman or this group of guys, I don't know what you call them, with a specific foreman, if it's, they're not working, you have to, the results don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, in our business, sometimes the results aren't 100% accurate on the bigger picture. But one of the things I loved about the book Think and Grow Rich was that it was something, and again, I'm prefacing it in my own words, but something to the effect of, you have to go back and revisit that plan, and you have to have a plan. You do have to have a plan. Okay, this is how we're going to lay this project out. this is our marketing plan, this is the structure, this is the, okay, so we should be hitting this number by this point, we should be hitting this number by this point, we should be hitting this number by this point. And if we're not hitting the numbers, maybe the numbers aren't realistic, but on the other hand, maybe the plan has a flaw in it. And maybe the whole plan isn't flawed, but maybe mm-hmm. there's some things that need tweaking. And if you're afraid to go in and revisit, or I have people that say, I used to be this. I don't have a business plan years ago. I used to say I don't have a plan because it's all in my head. And that was great for me, but it didn't help my staff or my team that didn't understand this whole plan. What is the plan? As we started to grow, I mean, we started to get clearer and clearer. Okay, what is the plan? I still sometimes am building the runway when the plane's taking off, and I'm learning that's a mistake. That's a lesson I'm learning from this, is that it doesn't mean you don't want to have that plane take off, but maybe let's put the plan together a little clearer and maybe a little
or
more.
Or that you
time.
Won't have other plans or other planes take off. Like, it's not throw the baby out of the bathwater either.
That's right. Oh, no, it's not.
Like,
oh,
yeah. That's it. Oh, it's not working out a bit. Right.
Yeah, it just means let's revisit this. And that thing, if those planes are taken off, let them keep working. But this one isn't quite going the way we want. Don't scrap it. I'm not saying scrap it. But let's revisit it and maybe look at and maybe bring in the right people. Let's have some conversations. Let's not be afraid to ask for help. Let's not be afraid to say to someone that does this for a living and doing it very well, you know, can I pay you for a couple of hours of your time to look at my plan? Can you give me some ideas? Could I pay you for some of your ideas? Sometimes it's a matter of just having the courage and the vulnerability to say, I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong right now. I don't know, but I know this. I have great feelings about, like, for me, what I've learned is the more successful I am, the more open-minded I am to learn, and the less I have to be a know-it-all. The more that I'm willing to say, I don't have the answer right now, and maybe it would come to me, but for some reason, I'm not seeing it, and I need to be vulnerable enough to ask for help, because we all need help. So I would love to help anyone who is on the line right now. I don't think our webinar is up, so I apologize to those who aren't able to.
It is. It's all working now.
Okay, great.
So
why
don't
we
have people on the webcast as well.
So let's see if we have any questions. And for those of you that are actually on the phone right now, Yvette's going to be doing the computer since I'm just sitting here without a computer. I can't see who's on the line. But if you're on your telephone and you press *2, on your keypad on your phone, or if you're on Skype and you press *2 on your keypad, you'll go in the queue and we'll know that you want to join the conversation. Maybe you want some coaching today. You want to talk about an area of your life. It doesn't have to be about business. It doesn't have to be about anything we've talked about today, but we're here to help you, because what I know now in my life is I don't care how successful you are, how smart you are, how fabulous you are, how amazing you are, or how broken you think you are, we all need help. We all need to commiserate. We need to communicate. Mm-hmm. We need to have someone else weigh in. Sometimes we just need a different perspective. Sometimes we need someone who's completely outside of it, because there's no agenda, there's nothing that you will say to me that will change my life, and yet somehow when I'm listening, or Yvette and I are listening to what's going on for you, sometimes ding, 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 we've been there, we've helped somebody else, we have a different perspective. So I would love to invite you, if you're listening right now, this may be your special day, it may be just exactly the time for you to press *2 and to have the courage. Just your first name. No one knows who you are. No one needs to know where you're calling from, even. And so we're here to coach and support you.
And
so I don't know, Yvette, if we have someone first on the.
And I just want to say that, as you know, Barbara Sher says, isolation is the killer of dreams. That especially when we're in fear and things aren't going the way we want, a lot of people tend to isolate.
That's when we isolate, right?
Yeah.
That's when we isolate. What we do is. Yeah, we run and hide. We become lone wolves. We're like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't have the answers. I don't want anyone to know. I'm so terrified. Or I don't even have the energy. I'm so terrified. I don't want unsolicited advice. How many times at Heims have I had a cold or a sniffle? And I would go used to go on Facebook and be like, got a little cold today. And I don't know why it would bug me. I don't know why. But I would have like 100 people give me all their cold remedies. And actually, I would think, do I actually have to go through? And then, no, what you need to do is this. And I think, but you know what? Now I say, isn't that wonderful that people care?
Care, yeah.
People care. And when I didn't know how to be loved. I didn't know how to be helped, and I didn't know how to be supported. I didn't know how to receive that in the love it was intended with. So here's the thing. We really are here for you, and so Star 2, we'd love to be able to support you. And you're right. Was it Barbara that said?
Barbara, sure, yeah.
Barbara, what did she say again? Read that quote slowly.
Isolation is the killer of dreams.
It is. It's the killer of the soul, too, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the very worst thing you can do to a person in jail is put them into segregation, put them into solitary confinement. It makes people go mental. I actually have been watching the 60 Days In and Behind Bars Rookie all year. Oh, gosh, when I see what's going on in our judicial system, when I see what's going on in our prison systems, my God, we treat human beings like animals. Even those
mm-hmm.
who have committed atrocities, we treat them worse than we treat farm animals, and it just horrifies me because 90% of them are getting back out, and the ones that aren't and are going to die in prison, I don't know if you believe in karma, they're coming back, and it breaks my heart to see the way we treat our fellow human beings and that we expect them to come back out in the world and to treat people better. I don't know, it breaks my heart. Anyways.
Okay, so we've got Christina. I'm going to unmute Christina here. There we go. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Hey, Christina, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
But I also have something on my mind. That's why I called.
I'm so glad. We're here to support you. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. So in a nutshell, I have this one issue that me and my guy argue about. And I find myself feeling extremely disempowered after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's like I just get really angry every time this topic comes up, and then I start going, do I have a right to be mad? Maybe I'm just a jerk, whatever. And then I think, no. If I legitimately feel this way, then I should be able to voice my concern, and maybe it's like the way I'm saying it. I don't know.
Okay,
but,
so let's just okay, so just for one sec. So you have this. So take a nice big deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this one issue with your guy, and when you get talking about it, you find yourself going from talking to anger to when it's all said and done, you just feel so disempowered around this issue.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the issue?
The issue is about him enabling his ex-wife.
Okay.
There's
a laugh.
Basically.
So the laugh of truth is, okay, so just so you know, there's a little laugh in there. So he enables his ex-wife. Is that right?
Yes. It's like,
Christina,
are you the one,
because I just read different things on Facebook, and so something's popping into my mind. Are you the one that wrote about how the ex-wife actually comes into your home and goes into your fridge? Is that you?
No.
Okay, it's a different woman. Someone else was saying, like, oh, my God, my husband's ex-wife will actually come in our house, go in our fridge, drink the rest of my wine. And he says, well, we have to play nice for the sake of the kids. So, okay, so that's not you. So, okay.
Well, no, but it's like, stuff like, okay, they've been, like, not together for at least, like, a year or so.
Or how long
and
were they married for? Let's just get a little bit of context around this. How long were they married?
They were married for like 26 years. So a long time.
Okay, so just stay with this. Let's slow down because these points matter, Christina. He was married for 26
mm-hmm.
years. How many children did they have together?
Five.
Five kids and 26 years of marriage, and they've been apart for about a year.
About a year, yes.
Okay. Okay. And how long have you been with him?
Well, that's kind of the laugh because, I mean, I'll be transparent. We were together for like almost 10 years now.
Okay.
And so it's been one of those like enmeshed dysfunctional situations.
Totally.
And when he decided, well, actually, I told him, look, you know what? I can't be part of this anymore because we do have a five-year-old together.
Okay.
You know, if you feel like you need to stay over there, then I need to move on. And apparently he decided on his own terms. No, he wanted to be with me. So that all came into effect last year.
Okay.
And since then, we've been staying together.
Okay.
And we share a home. You know, we've been slowly kind of building our finances together and just, you know, doing a lot of stuff to kind of combine our lives.
Okay.
And in the process, I think I kind of was really kind of frustrated with how much he was still, like, doing for his ex, because she didn't work at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside the home. And yeah. So I think for her it was a bit of a shock. She's never had to be very self-sufficient, I guess.
She's devastated.
And I'm
Christina,
the,
she is completely
and
utterly,
opposite.
Just for a moment, I just want you to just stop for a moment, though, for your sake, for you to put yourself in her shoes for a minute. I'm not judging you in the slightest, because he might be your soulmate. He might be the man you're supposed to grow old with. So let's just take that aside, though, for a minute. And just imagine for a minute, this woman has never worked outside the home. She's been married for 26 years.
Well, she has worked outside the home.
In the last year.
She, so she add to the drama. We all worked together at the same place. And when I got pregnant, he told her to quit her job. And she knew about me. She knew about our child. She decided to stay with him. And I guess he decided to stay with her, whatever. It was all muddled. The whole thing, now when I look back on it, I'm in a completely different mental space. And I'm like, how the hell did I put up with this crap, basically?
Yeah, you got yourself, you got working with a man who worked with his wife, who was married for 26 years, who had 5 kids, mm-hmm. who, and I'm going to guess you're younger than him?
A little bit, not a lot.
How much younger?
6 years.
Okay. So he's with this woman for 26 years. They have 5 children together. Mm-hmm. You come into their mm-hmm. business. It's her business. Mm-hmm. It's her business. To say she hasn't worked, it's her business. It's her business with her husband. You come in, you have an affair with her husband, you get pregnant with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's a douchebag. I'm sorry to say that, but he's being a douchebag because maybe he's falling for you, but he's got a wife and he's got a business and he's got kids and he's trying to juggle all these balls and he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He tells his wife, she says, I still love you. We have a business. We have children. We have 26 years together. Let's try to make this work. So he tells her, you leave the business, and do you stay working there? Christina?
Yeah. Well, it's not like his personal business. It was like we all worked at an agency together, the same workplace.
Okay, we all work in the same place. So my wife, I'm going to tell you to leave, and I'm going to stay working here with my mistress, who I have gotten pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
which I think is kind of the reason why I'm, like, so...
angry? Disempowered?
No, it's just, like, how do I put it? Like,
Christina, tell me what you feel right under the surface. If it didn't make you a bad woman...
I feel like I don't respect her. I don't respect her.
Do you respect him?
I respect him in relationship to me. I don't
respect how he treated her. This is how he treated his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't. Don't you respect her?
But I feel like me and her are kind of like the shadows of each other. Like she kind of embodies all of these traits that I was taught growing up not to be, which is like stay at home, be dependent, whatever. And then it seems like her life played out exactly the way my mom taught me never to let myself get in that situation. Like, you relied on a man, he was a douchebag, and then now you're left doing, you know, with nothing.
Let's have so much compassion
for
her.
The other woman.
Christina, let's, for a moment,
yeah.
So that you become so empowered in your own skin, I want you, just for a moment, even if it can't last, just for a moment, I want you to find some place in your heart, some place in your body that can find compassion for this woman. Because whether or not she's everything that you don't want to be, That was, this is her life.
I do
life.
Feel like, I do
I'm having
feel
a deja
like,
vu right now. I don't know what's going on with me, but my brain's just gone, just, whew, I just had a deja vu. So what do you feel like? You just, here's what I want you to listen back. What you just said is, she became everything my mom said not to be. Be dependent on a man. Let yourself, you know, basically trust him to take care of you. Have 5 children with this man. Stay with him for 26 years and trust him. And then in the end, when he runs off with another younger woman and has a baby with another woman, you're going to be left with nothing. You actually said she was left with nothing.
Not left with nothing. But
those
like,
were your words, though.
I feel like she's kept herself in that position at this point.
You've kept yourself in this same mess. Christina,
no,
you are
I mean,
her.
Like, not,
you,
not
you
ha- being self-sufficient, I guess.
Yeah, but he told her,
at.
Quit your
and
job. You quit your job.
But if he told me to quit my job, I'd be like, why?
But
why?
He said to his wife, probably that you never heard, baby, I love you. We're going to make this work. It's going to be okay. You quit your job. You stay home with mm-hmm. the kids. I'm going to give. He didn't want you around. He didn't want her around his mistress. He wanted to have his cake and eat it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you are 2 women who have been played by a man.
So why are we talking about the woman? Because isn't the relationship with the man?
Yeah, I know, but because this is what Christina wants to go through. This is where Christina is, though, Yvette. So we're not going to do that.
That's what I'm
yet.
Getting at is, that's what I'm getting at is, like, I said, look, you
why
know.
Why are you mad at her?
I've got to get myself
why are you mad at her?
Out of this situation.
Christina, why are you mad at her?
May I speak?
Why are you mad at her? I just want to know. Why are you mad at her?
Because at this point in the situation, they're not together anymore. And it's like she's still expecting him to do stuff for him, or I'm sorry, him for her. And it's like, how are y'all going to set any good boundaries at this point? And
there's no boundaries.
To me, it's like,
darling, I am not judging you. I'm just being
yes, you
an
are.
Outside.
I'm
being outside this weighing in, and I'm hearing you talk about boundaries.
Where I'm at at this point is like when I said I don't want to be part of this situation anymore. I'm moving on, and then he decided, okay, I'm leaving that situation, and I'm going with you. We started new, and I said, look, we have a lot of baggage and a lot of history from the past. I said, but if you're with me, I have certain expectations. And it's that old relationship had to die.
It can't die. Christina, I'm saying this to you like if you were my sister or my best friend. I'm not saying this to you.
That old relationship between me and him, the way it was, had to die. It couldn't be the same. I couldn't interact with him and his, you know, while he's in another relationship with anybody else. I said, look. I'm moving on. I don't want to be part of this anymore. If you do what you need to do. Have a nice life. Whatever.
We have
so
a kid together now.
On his own terms.
But we have a kid together now.
I
you and him
be
have
a
kid together.
And not be romantically involved with him.
Of course,
you know,
But you are still. I just want you to take a big breath and don't feel like anyone's against you. I'm trying to just sometimes when you can be an observer of your life. Rather than defending your life or even judging your life, when you can be an observer of
yeah.
it.
Okay, put all that other stuff aside. And if I was any other woman and you didn't know that history,
but
let's
that history
say
matters.
I'm dating a man who was previously married to somebody else. They're no
yep.
longer together.
Yeah.
And now that we're engaged in a relationship, they're still continuously doing stuff.
So here's what I would say. Here's what I would say to someone that said, I'm with a man that was married. I would say, how long were they married? 26 years. How long have they been apart? A year. I would say, it's going to take that man 26 months to grieve the loss of that relationship. It takes about a month for every year that we've been with someone to let go. That's just what psychologists say. It takes about a month for every year. So if you've been with someone for 12 years, it's going to take about a year before your heart has even grieved that loss, that failure, that shame, that sorrow. 5 kids, 26 years. So you're talking about a year that they've been apart. That's not even, that's 24 months.
But see, this is
I mean, that's 12 months.
Representation of exactly, I think when I engaged in a relationship with a married man, it was to negate me, because then the rest of the world would always say, it doesn't matter about you. You got in their business, so it's not you.
Which
so
is so sad, because your life matters. Because
totally
your story
matters.
Because
my life does matter.
Christina,
so
your
right
life
now,
matters.
When I'm talking about my life, we're talking about theirs. And I'm like,
no.
I don't want to keep...
Christina, take a pause just for a minute. Take a pause.
Christina, you are the most important person in this triangle at this point.
Right now, this is about you, but we're trying to show you that your joy matters, your life matters, your love matters, your child matters, your future matters. It all matters.
Absolutely.
100%.
And you're being
affected by what's happening. So my advice right now is not saying... Oh, my advice, before we can even give you advice, we're taking this big picture, because it's always a big picture. And when you're trying to coach someone, you have to have context. You have to put it all into context and weigh it all out and say, so Christina made a bad move. Here's the truth. Christina made a bad move 10 years ago getting involved with a married man. That's just what it is.
The way I look at it is he invited himself into my life.
But
you
also made the decision.
Where I was wrong was saying, let me entertain you. But
yeah, you went wrong. You went wrong.
It wasn't just me.
Nope, it wasn't.
You
let a married man who had 5 kids, you entertained him. So now we all have the repercussions of our choices. Every human being has to live with the choices they've made, and then from this day forward, make the best decisions with what is. So what we're trying to show
you...
What
I was doing when I said, hey, you know what, I don't want to be part of this anymore. If you want to stay married, I can't stay with the status quo. She seems to be okay with having me in your life, like she just turns the other cheek and ignores it or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't feel like sharing you with somebody, so I need to move on. And that's enough.
So here's where you have to decide. Here's where it's at for you now. You've been with him for 10 years as a mistress. A year, he's finally left.
Oh.
Right?
More like 8 years as a mistress, and then the last year or so has been like as a legitimate partner.
Okay, so now he's moved in with you, but he hasn't – this is a man that has no boundaries. This is
and
a man
– like basically like saying, hey, if you want to keep having the same type of relationship, this is what you keep doing. If you don't want to, and I don't want to, we're not going to do the same things that we've always done.
And I don't blame you.
One of them is having really loose boundaries.
And I don't blame you.
What I say to him, like, and he's had some fairly authentic conversations with me about, I was just wrong. I don't know why I was doing it. Maybe it just played out, whatever. I don't know whatever his reasons are. It's not my journey. That's his business, whatever. All I worry about is me, which is why I feel like this conversation about her that gets in between me and my sense of empowerment is like, hey, you know what? When I left our old relationship, I didn't want to keep talking about how wrong I was for being with you. I moved on, and I'm done with that old situation. I can apologize to her. I can do whatever.
Have you apologized to her?
At this point,
have you apologized to her?
We haven't even had a conversation. It's like, obviously we aren't best friends.
Yeah. But you know her. You do know her.
I don't know her like, hey,
did you know her?
She worked on a different shift than me.
Okay. So,
and I did not know her at all.
Okay. So now you're with him and so let's just now jump to here. So we've got some context around this. If you could wave a magic wand and you could paint the perfect picture for what you want with him, tell me what that would look like.
That, pretty much where we're at right now, but with,
just tell me what it would look like. Tell me what it would look like. If you could just wave a magic wand, we would live together. We would raise our child together.
Our child is you know, raised and, you know, goes to school, whatever, both parents are available to him. You know,
would you have a relationship with his other five children?
Well, that's on him. I tell him, look, like my 5-year-old and his 16, 17-year-old, the only interaction they really have is when he goes and brings her to and from work, which is exactly what I was saying. He goes and does all this because the car that he gave her, the wife, she basically didn't take care of it, and it broke down, and then it got seized and all this other stuff. So they didn't have a vehicle for like 6 months, and because she didn't want to work. Maybe she was depressed, whatever. I don't, you know, I'm sure something was going on there emotionally.
I'd be depressed if my husband left me after 26 years.
Well, at the same time, it's not like she didn't know about me and all that either. So,
but we still have to have compassion for people so that we can have compassion for you. So that we can have compassion for you,
well,
so that we can have compassion for her.
I don't think anybody has that much compassion for me.
But maybe it's just the energy that you're giving off around this right now. Maybe it's hard to have compassion.
Where is that coming from, that nobody has, very few people have compassion for you? Where is that coming from?
Because let's face facts. Nobody likes the other woman. It's not a good place to be. It's not fun. It's not admirable. It's not a place of esteem. I mean, let's just be real.
Yeah, so why don't we heal that part in you so that you don't carry that, so that you don't have to have so much defensiveness and anger, so that you can...
I don't have defensiveness until other people start going, hey, well, you know...
But nobody can make you feel anything. But no one can make you feel anything. Like, we can say something, but if you were at peace with it, you would say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, I understand. I understand if I was married to him and I was, and he had, you know, I understand that. But here's the reality is we made the decision. We love each other. He left that relationship. And, if there was a level of self-compassion, I think, yourself.
I think, like, today I just was really just so pissed off because I felt like what he did something that I feel like was disrespectful.
I think there's a period in change when we make changes. So, you know, I left my first husband, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I had an affair. I've never said that publicly. I don't tell that to people. So I'm not judging you. You have to understand, Christina. I understand sometimes people are in a situation where they're so unhappy. They're so lost. They're so looking for something, and they don't know where to get those needs met. And someone else comes along and lights up something in them that they don't know how to light up on their own. And then you're in a situation, and now you got to deal with that. For me, I left my first marriage, and I tried for 7 years to make it work with that person. So I'm not judging you, because he had a girlfriend that I had to call her and say, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she hung up on me and basically, so I'm not judging you. I hope you can take a deep breath now that I've just showed you that. I'm not judging you, but I also look at the big picture and I can say, I had to say to my ex-husband, I'm so sorry that I did that to you. But here's the but. I would never have had that affair had this thing been good. So now I've left. I didn't stay in it for 8 years. I didn't have an affair. I literally left, literally said, I'm no longer happy here. I've met this other person. I'm leaving. The shame that I had for so long, the guilt and the shame and the way that I overcompensated because I didn't want anyone to ever know about this, the shame and guilt that I had. So I want you to understand I have compassion for this, but we also all have to be responsible for the choices we make and then the repercussions and the big picture. So I couldn't just say, like, I couldn't imagine if the man that I got together with just said, you were with him and too bad and you're not with him anymore and I don't want to hear. I would cry a lot. I would overcompensate with my kids. I would, and I remember him one time saying to me, just parent these kids like you haven't had a goddamn affair, because you're parenting them in a way that is not good for them. Don't have all this guilt. Parent them like you're the proud, amazing woman that you are. And that was like a wake-up call. Like, we're talking 15 years ago. We're not talking. This was
like
a long time ago.
I want to be done with.
But you can't just be done. That's what
life.
I'm trying to tell you. Things don't die. Things evolve. Things heal. Things grow.
Well, starting to evolve, and then
so
it's like.
Yeah. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that there's a transition.
The way they say enmeshed is like I keep reliving all this nonsense, and I'm
but
like.
But it's so fresh still, darling. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I know a year seems like it's really fast, but healing takes time, and it takes so much compassion. It takes so much compassion for yourself and the mistakes you made. It takes so much compassion for your partner. It takes so much compassion for that other woman. It takes really being a woman and not being in daughter energy, not being in mother energy, not having guilt and not having anger. It's working through those emotions so that if I were to say to you, if you could wave a magic wand, what would it look like? So let me pretend for a minute I'm you, and I would say, this is what I would want. I would want him to lovingly and kindly move away from her. I know they spent 26 years together. I know she's brokenhearted. I'm sorry for that, but he and I have chosen to have a life together. I'm still going to have as much compassion and understanding, but I'm not going to be anyone's whipping board. I would love to him and I to move in together, whether it means we get married, we raise our child together. I would love for my child to have a close relationship with his other kids because they're brothers and sisters. My child has brothers and sisters. I want my husband to have self-respect. I want all of our six children to have respect and compassion, and I want to be able to communicate with all these children in a way that everybody heals from this. I want to heal my own heart in this. I want all of us in the end to have forgiveness and kindness towards each other. I don't want to live with a devil on my back. I want to live with peace. And I want to get us to the point that we can communicate with such respect and dignity and kindness, and that we can really, you know, work through this stuff as a family, and that in 10 years from now, we might even have a big Christmas dinner, or you might say, no, we're going to have two Christmas dinners, but we all communicate kindly, and these kids are all well-adjusted. Like, you have to know what your big picture is here. You have to get clarity. If you don't have intentions, if you see where intention goes, energy flows. So if you get really clear on your intentions, like your intentions are, I want to be with him. I want to have a beautiful life with him. I want to raise our child together. But I also understand that there is a period of transition. And that period of transition is you're in them. Effing muck. There's so much muck. There's so many broken hearts. There's so much anger. There's so much sorrow right now. And we can't just say, like, this reminds me of my mom that would say things like, Hakuna Matata, you got to put the past behind you. You got to move on. Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Life is messy. And people have hearts and minds and souls and emotions and stories and pain and suffering. And there's all this stuff in here. And if I'm going to be an empowered woman, I have to have the wisdom and the compassion to see this whole bigger picture. And I have to get clear on what my needs are. But I also have to know that I can't snap a finger and make people be what I want them to be. And make people let go, because maybe they're hanging on to their dad, and maybe she's hanging on. And maybe, you know, there's this great saying, what we resist persists. And when we put so much energy into resistance, into what we don't want them to be like, you know, there's just an element of when you can own yourself, own your part, own your story, there's a sense of kindness and compassion and wisdom that starts to come for you. So when I keep asking if you could wave a magic wand, I want you to get really clear on what you see 10 years from now looking like. So that when you communicate with him, and when you communicate with his kids, and you communicate with those kids knowing that they have a mother, and that you can't live in that guilt forever. So I'm going to tell you, no, you can't live in that guilt of being a mistress forever. You can't. It will destroy you. It will wreck the way you communicate, and your little child will feel like they were a byproduct of something that was shameful. So you got to heal the story around this. And being mad at her is a way to distract and misdirect it. Like, she was around before you, and she's going to be around forever. So you got to find a healthy way of looking at her, seeing her, viewing her, and letting go. Does that click? Is there anything that I just said that clicks in your heart?
Yeah.
What do you feel when I say this to you?
Honestly, like that. Again, it's about her. It's not about me in this. I just kind of feel like, you know, I did put myself in the predicament where.
What do you want? Let's forget about her for a minute. What do you want?
I want peace for myself.
Yeah.
And I want what I want to matter too.
Yes. What do you want, though? Because you do matter. And your child matters.
I want somebody who is loving and loyal and respectful to me.
Yes,
I want
you deserve that.
I want a peaceful life where nobody gets to judge me.
But they're going to. So
I mean,
when you
anyway,
stop judging
but,
you,
I
they're
mean,
going to. People judge me all the time. So you want
I,
love?
You, know,
you want
only,
loyalty?
That's the only area of my life that, you know, I feel...
Ashamed.
Know, ashamed or... You know,
I know.
I'm mad that I let myself be in a position where other people can look down on me.
I know. I did the
because
same thing.
I feel like
I was
so
fucking
so
angry.
Better than that.
I was so fucking angry that I'd been with one man since I was 18 years old. And I lived with blinders on in that marriage. And I was so committed to him. And I was so dedicated to our life together. And I could blame him. I could tell you all the messes he made. And like massive messes that gave me a billion reasons why I should have gotten out. But the shame I had that I chose to leave and get together with another guy right away, and the shame that I carried, it was devastating
there's
for my
soul. Own history. You know, I have two other children with my ex-husband, and that marriage was very unhappy. And I was very bitter about marriage in general.
Yep.
And up until maybe a year ago, I didn't start really thinking, like, what I really want is going to happen for me.
Right. So you took scraps. And you're finally saying, I matter. And that's important because you do matter. You matter. And you should be in a relationship
because,
where you are loved. Of course you should be with
somebody
a man
else
who's loyal.
Allow themselves to be disrespected. I don't want to be that person.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be that person. And you're not that person, and you'll never be that person. And I want you to be with someone who loves you and who's loyal to you. And I think what I'm hearing is I don't think I was really ever loved. And now I'm finally realizing, how old are you? What's your age right now?
39.
And at 39 years old, I'm finally realizing I matter. And I don't care what mistakes I've made. And I don't care what I did wrong. I don't give a shit. At this point, at 39 years of age, I deserve to have a happy life. And that's what I'm hearing. And that is absolutely true. And when you really decide that you matter and that your child matters, you and your child matter. You will find someone who loves you. You will find someone who's loyal to you. And maybe it's him. Maybe you're meant to be with him forever and a day. I don't know. But I do know that when we resonate and we have that underlying shame, that thing in our guts under the surface, it's never about anybody else. They will keep showing up to show you that you have a wound that needs tending to. What I would love to do,
this
whole Christina, have you
came out of a bigger wound than
yes, of course. It would be interesting to know what your father treated your mother like.
My father was not there.
Right, of course. Your father wasn't there, and then you chose a man who couldn't really be there. We create patterns. We do what's familiar to us. Familiar comes from the word family.
But there's more to life than all that.
There is more to life than all that. But you know what? These trajectory-changing moments through the course of our life, they get buried under the surface, and then we keep meeting people and finding people that are actually there to show us how wounded we are so that we can heal that initial wound, the old wound, so that it doesn't have to keep cropping up, so that we don't have to feel sad again. And what I would love to do for you, Christina, is I would love to gift you a course that I'm running right now. It's a 12-week telecourse, and it's worth $300, and I'd like to give it to you as a gift today because you matter.
Thank you.
With no judgment, with pure love. I give this to you out of pure love because you matter. Because you matter, because your child matters. If I gave it to you, do you think you would be able to do it? Have you heard about it before, the 12-week telecourse?
Yes, I've done one. I've done two.
Why don't we do one and let's get you really plugged in?
Three times a charm.
You matter. Healing your heart matters. Healing the shame matters. Healing the anger matters. I want you to channel all this anger into your greatness. I want you to learn how to communicate your needs in such a way that your needs will be met. I want you to feel respected. I want you to feel dignity again, because you deserve that. I want you to get your needs met. I want you to feel loved. I want you to know how to communicate with your partner. I want you to be able to see what's really happening. I want you to neutralize all this. That's really what it's about. It's being able to neutralize it, because the way that you're feeling towards her or the kids or his past or people and the way people have judged you, I want to just neutralize all that. Mm-hmm. I want it to become just neutral. There's no emotional charge towards any of them, so that your energy just goes into you, your child, your dreams, your life, your love, your future.
I think that's what I want. I'm like, every time this anger just comes up out of nowhere and it just drains me. And
I know.
I'm like, I want to be at peace.
Do you know what anger is? Anger is depression exploded. Anger and depression are like this dance. And when anger implodes, it turns into a depression and we beat up on ourselves and we implode. And when we can't express that in a healthy way, it explodes on other people. And it's all energy that has to be channeled. It's all energy. It's all energy that if you could channel it in the right way, it could actually transcend into love. It can actually transcend into acceptance and into peace. And you actually one day will look back on this and say, I remember where I was at. I remember the journey I walked, and it was hard. And I continued to focus on myself and to heal my own heart and to improve my own communication skills. And look where I am now. And I have so much compassion for the woman I was. I have so much compassion for where I was at. I have so much compassion that I'd grown up with a dad who wasn't there for me. I got involved with an ex-husband who wasn't there for me. Then I got involved with a married man who wasn't fully there for me. And now we're living together and he's not fully there for me. Because all of these people are showing me that I've never really been there for me. And it's time that I'm there for me.
And we're here for you. We're here for you.
We're here for you.
There's no judgment coming from me. I'll speak for myself.
Oh, God, if you knew the journeys we've all walked. My darling, Christina, we have all walked journeys. We have all made mistakes. We've all done things that if somebody knew. I have women who have had 5 abortions and have had this and have had that and the shame that they have. And I say, you can't beat up on yourself forever for things that you did in the past. But you can learn from them and you can heal them. You know, we can't run from them.
I feel like, you know, me and this other woman, we just like are shadows of each other.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
You know, and we represent the other
extreme
path, or the path not taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I just think, like, man, you know, maybe something good will come of this for her. Maybe she'll become more independent. Maybe
there's
more,
love.
I don't know. I hope.
There's love.
I wish her the best.
There's love.
You know.
That's gonna just change things. If you can just have that stance that says, I don't wish her any harm. I don't wish her any harm. I just want a great life.
I honestly really don't. Like, she's
of course
been,
you don't
know, understandably ugly towards me.
Of
you
course.
Know, but at the same time, I've always just never responded. I've tried to be graceful and just shut my mouth. I don't engage in it and just the leader.
It's a hard road you're walking. It's a hard road you're walking. It's hard enough to get together with a partner that is single. Listen,
yeah.
I got together with Aaron. He's single, never been married, never had kids. And do you know the struggles we have? We don't have an ex. We don't have five kids from an ex. We don't have that baggage. We don't have, and we still struggle. It's a hard road you've chosen, but it can, you can get to greener pastures, but you got to keep walking it. And you got to know that nothing dies. You don't want anything to die. You want things to grow, evolve, and heal. Make that your mantra, that we're going to evolve, we're going to grow, and we're going to heal together. And
we're so much better now, like in a healthier place.
And you'll get healthier and healthier.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And in a year from now, you're going to be healthier. And in a year after that, it's going to get healthier. And in 10 years from now, it could be absolutely mind-blowingly magnificent.
Maybe I'll write a cautionary tale.
and maybe one day you'll be coaching women and saying, I walked this journey and this is what I learned. And here's the thing, judging anyone, shaming anyone, we don't make changes by being shamed. We don't make changes by somebody shaming me. Somebody told me, you're this too much, you're that too much, you're this too much, you're that too much. It's not going to make me change. But if someone says, I have so much compassion for where you're at, and it's not a good place. Let's be honest. It's not a good place.
How much we take on. Like when we hear someone judge us or give us that kind of feedback, how much of it do we actually take on and ingest, and then we start feeling it, and then we own that part of it.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I've always said too, is when you can own your story, which means you own your part in it, you own your full part in this, and you don't even do the yeah buts, and you just go, just the way I just said, I don't ever tell anybody this, but I had an affair. See, here's the thing. If I still had so much shame around that, I couldn't have said it to you, and then you couldn't have understood that I'm not judging you for that. But I am saying, just like with me, I had to deal with the mess I made. I couldn't just not heal the mess I made. I made a mess, and now I had to clean it up. No one could clean that mess up for me. And I couldn't just say, can everybody just get on with it? It was like, okay, I made a mess. And you know what? In the end, I absolutely feel like everything was what it was supposed to be, and I am in a place now that I want to be. I didn't have the tools to leave my marriage because I can tell you all the reasons why, the same as you. I had been so abused. I didn't want to be alone. I'd been so abused and was so alone and had no family and had no love and had no loyalty and had no one there for me. And all of a sudden to have this person be like, I'm going to run to him. And I soon learned it wasn't about him. Oh, my God. Do you know the shame I felt? I remember someone saying to me once, women are like monkeys. They don't let go of one branch until they have a firm grip on another. And it was so shameful that I thought, I'm an empowered woman. I'm an amazing woman. I'm an amazing mother. I was an amazing partner to my husband. And in the last month of our marriage, I lost my marbles and had to get the hell out. And I should have actually probably never married him. None of that matters, rather. I did marry him, and I did have two children, and I did have an affair, and I did break his heart. Even if he was a douchebag, and he was. I still had to deal with the repercussions and the consequences of the choices I made, and I had to clean things up. And all I'm saying to you is you've had a year with him, and just have the compassion and the understanding and the wisdom to know you're going to move to a healthier place every month. It's going to get a little better. And then it's going to be two steps back, and then it's going to be three steps forward, and then it's going to be two steps back, and it's going to be three steps forward. And eventually, when you really heal the shame that you have and the judgment that you feel because of how you got together, your relationship with him will get much healthier. And there will come a time that I would suggest that you would meet with her or write her a letter and say, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. This was never my intention, but here we are. And you're probably nowhere near that place, but there will come a point where you just want to forgive yourself, and you'll want her to forgive you, and you'll want to forgive him, and you'll want the kids to forgive you, and you'll reach a point where you just want peace, and you want everyone to just be at peace. And that will become more important than anything else. Yvette, any last thoughts you want to leave with Christina? Let's make sure that we get her email once we hang up, and we'll make sure we get Christina. And I don't want Christina to be pointed out. I don't want Christina to have to go on the chat with Crystal. I don't want Christina to feel any shame. But I think it's a
powerful conversation. I think, you know, this like we talked about, this story. This is the story and how the shame came about. But we all can relate with different stories.
Yeah.
It happens in different ways, shapes, or form. And so even as you speak today, Christina, I mean, I could feel it in my own gut of things that, you know, what mess have I made and just shoved it away and not dealt with it, and that the shame rears its ugly head. And how do I beat myself up as a result of that?
Yeah.
So I think this conversation was very powerful today, and I thank you so much for sharing, Christina.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. It takes so much courage, and I can felt you shift from the anger into just letting go, and that's what those tears were. Those tears are truth. The tears are truth, and the truth is this hurts, and it sucks. And there's no other way to get around it. It sucks. And we don't have to call it a mess, but
It's here.
It's a bit of a mess, and sometimes we have messes, you know. We pull something out of the cupboard and all the plates fall and crash on the floor. We got to clean it up. And you can. And you can get to a really good, amazing, magnificent, joyful place. And you can have love and loyalty.
So, Christina, if you could email me, and then I'll make sure you're hooked up. And it's yvette@crystalandrus.com.
Okay.
Alrighty, Christina, we have lots more. We're going to spend time on the telecourse together, and I really, really applaud you for your courage and your vulnerability and just really showing up today. It takes so much courage, and I know it's not easy, so just know that that you're loved and that we care about you, and we'll support you until you're in an amazing place. And I'd also love for you to sign up for mentorship coaching, because we have extraordinary coaches who will coach you free of charge, just to support you along this journey. Not to say, woo, you made mistakes, but to say, whatever, it is what it is. Now, what are you going to do about it? Let us help support you to get you to a great place for you and for your child. That's what matters most, you and your child. That's what we care about. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Yvette. Thank you, everyone who listened in today. I know it was heavy, but it's life and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what real life is. And you know what? Love is perfect, but people aren't. Love is perfect, but people aren't. And life gets messy because people aren't perfect. So with that being said, perfection isn't everything. And we're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to be whole. And for those of you who have not signed up for my telecourse yet, I highly recommend it. This one is on a whole
juicy.
New plane.
Yep.
Juicy.
And you're doing it live again, I hear?
I'm going to do another Facebook Live. Yeah, it's tough for me because I feel like I'm juggling balls and I'm trying to read notes and I'm trying to look at the camera.
Humanness about that, though, Crystal. We love it.
I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I'm expanding my emotional edges, and I really just want to reach more people. That's why I'm doing it one more time. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Christina. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I have to go buy a new computer because my computer died. Let's hope
that
this one. Yeah, Mercury retrograde. You're not supposed to buy computer equipment.
No,
Mercury
but it's a
retrograde.
Completion. It's a completion.
It's a completion, all right.
Awesome.
I won't be chatting on the chat with Crystal, everyone, because I have no computer, but sending everyone love. Christina, sending you love. You're on your way, girl. Don't give up. Just don't give up, and don't be a lone wolf, and don't pull away, because we need each other, and community builds immunity, and you will be supported, because I guarantee that half the people that are taking that telecourse have walked in your shoes in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you. You are not alone. Thank you, everyone. Have an awesome week. We'll be back next Tuesday. Bye for now.
The moderator has left the conference.